Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of the Finer Life Show. I'm your host, Greg Hush Williams. On today's edition of the Finer Life, we're going to talk to U.S. Army combat veteran and Purple Heart Medal recipient, Benjamin Rodriguez. Mr. Rodriguez is going to share portions of his military history and talk about his journey from tragedy to triumph. Check it out.
I took orders to Fort Bliss, Texas, with the 4th Brigade, 1st Cavalry Division, 212 Cav, Echo Company, engineers. And so I went to Fort Bliss in 2005, and I stayed there for 3 years. I deployed from Fort Bliss the second time to Baghdad, Iraq, Camp Liberty, in 2006. November 2006 is when I did my second deployment to Baghdad. And well, one glorious hot day in Baghdad, Iraq, on the date of April 7th, 2006, which is my oldest son's birthday, we was doing our mission. We was out doing route clearance, and we was coming back into the camp, into the fob, you know, and we got a call on the radio, you know, possible, you know, IED, we need to go check it out and see what we find, because as combat engineers, that was our job over there, you know, as route clearance. We would go out and clear the routes for everybody so they can travel safe and get the missions done and supply runs and everything like that. So, you know, we got the call. I was in the lead vehicle as the TC, which is called the tank commander. And so we turned down on the route, you know, we had our one of our other platoons on the street over from us, you know, doing a mission, putting in Jersey barriers, HESCO barriers, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, the call was, you know, possible IED. So as we traveling on this narrow road that's, you know, barely could fit two cars on at the same time, you know, there were some cars parked on the side of the road. So I radio, you know, to the platoon, to the convoy, and let them know that to look out, you know, we got two parked cars on the side of the road. You know, platoon leader, you know, squad leader and everything. They said, okay, got it. Charlie Mike, meaning continue mission. And we kept moving. So like I said, I was the lead vehicle. And once, you know, we got close to the cars, you know, I'm scanning, looking for anything out of the ordinary that will heighten my awareness to say, hey, this is an IED that is buried on the side of the road. But what's come tell is when my vehicle, the lead vehicle, got parallel to these cars right next to them, which is probably about that much space in between our vehicle and that vehicle. If I reach my hand out of the window, I could test the civilian vehicles. And I'm just looking out the window, scanning everything. I see, you know, people in these vehicles, even kids. And next thing I know, I'm waking up and my ears are ringing. My head is hurting, you know. The blast came from the blast came from the right side. So, you know, I can't hear. My eardrum is blew out on my right side. So I can't hear nothing from my right side. And then I finally come to, you know, I'm dazed, dizzy, everything. I finally come to, my driver's, you know, he's shaking me. I'm like, Sergeant Ron, are you okay? Are you good? You good? You know, and I'm like, yes, I'm good. So I'm checking my body, make sure I got all my limbs and everything. And then that's where my hearing came back in, and all I heard was gunfire. So when they blew a car bomb up, which is called a VBID, a vehicle-borne IED. And those cars that I mentioned earlier was the VBIDs. So, you know, that's how, you know, I got blown up and received a Purple Heart. Because when I got blown up, you know, this scar I got on my lip, it busted my lip open. My right ear was hanging off of my ear, so I'm bleeding from my right ear. You know, later on, you know, it triggered a strong reaction to PTSD and traumatic brain injury for my brain being rattled inside of my head and inside of my skull from the blast. So, you know, they pulled me out of the vehicle, you know, put me in another vehicle, medevaced me back to the camp. And I met it. The doc, he, you know, took me in with an IV and he patched me up. He did everything he was supposed to do right. And, you know, my adrenaline is pumping. I'm ready to shoot. I'm trying to grab my gun and they won't let me grab my gun. Every time I grab for it, they hit my hand. They're like, no, we got a medevac. You got to get you out of here. I'm like, no, they're attacking us. We got to take care of the enemy. And I was like, no, you can't do anything. You're hurt. You're injured. I'm like, no, I'm not. So that's all the adrenaline is pumping through my body. So I'm thinking I'm fine. I didn't even know that my lip was split. You know, I'm spitting blood, you know, and I'm laughing, like the adrenaline had me just laughing and everything. And so, you know, they got me back to the camp, you know, I'm on the gurney, you know, in the aid station, you know, they strip all my clothes off my body, you know, I had a mini afro, so the glass from our vehicles was all embedded in the side of my face, it was in my hair, so they shaved my hair off to get the glass off me. You know, pour water on me, get the glass off my face and everything. And, you know, they worked on me, you know, called the medevac Blackhawk and they hit me with morphine. When they rolled me onto that Blackhawk and that Blackhawk took out, I blacked out, I was knocked out. So from Baghdad, Camp Victory, they medevaced me to the green zone, to the I think it's called 28 Cash, where the big hospital is for Baghdad in the green zone. And I got there, they did surgery, broke my jaw in four different places. They put a titanium plate on my jaw. They stitched my lip up, stitched my ear up, you know, and all of that. My mouth was wired shut. So I come to about 2-3 days later when I finally come to and wake up. And the first thing I'm doing is like, what's going on? Trying to talk, you know, I can't talk. I'm trying to talk, my mouth won't move and I'm freaking out, you know? And, you know, one thing about it is you know, was the blessing that, you know, when I woke up, the first person that, you know, I seen by my bedside was my sister's husband, which, you know, jump back to the real quick. My sister's husband was a nurse, a medic, you know, a nurse in the Army at that time. And when I was stationed in El Paso, Texas at Fort Bliss, he deployed from El Paso a couple of months before I did, you know. I didn't know that's where he was going to be at or that's where he will work at or nothing like that. So, you know, when he heard that, you know, Benjamin Rodriguez was, you know, coming in off a chopper, he was like, oh, there's only, you know, one Benjamin Rodriguez I know, and that's, you know, my brother-in-law, my sister, my wife's brother. So, you know, he did everything he did to be there with me. When I came, you have to get hurt by the enemy, you know, for you to receive the Purple Heart. So we joke around and call the interview marksmanship badge, but you know, I'm proud of my Purple Heart, you know. But at the same time, I don't too much, like really just, you know, care for it. Like I said, I know the history of it and I received it. So, you know, I accept it, but you know, it's not something that, you know, anybody's looking for, you know, as one of the awards to receive in any branch of the military, because all branches, you know, can get hurt and injured in war, you know. Just, you don't have to just be a Marine or a Army soldier just to, you know, go to war and be in certain conflicts or whatever to get hurt and get injured and receive the Purple Heart. So no one is looking for that medal. But like I said, at the beginning, when it first was made by General George Washington, it was a badge of merit, you know, for doing good, for, you know, promotions and going above and beyond, selfless service, you know, stuff like that. And then, you know, it changed to, you know, to what it is now, the Purple Heart for being, you know, injured. I was just calling him just to, you know, talk to him, check him on and everything. And he was like, yo, yeah, all right. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the phone with, like you said, membership coordinator. And I was like, membership coordinator? What are you talking about? It's like, yeah, I'm getting ready to become part of military fraternity. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. Because you know what? I've been thinking about doing that, you know. And he was like, yeah, this is a Mu Beta Phi military training corps. I was like, I ain't never heard of them. You know what I'm saying? And I told him about, you know, when I was, you know, looking up Alpha Sigma Gamma military fraternity and everything. He was like, yeah. I was like, well, you know what I'm saying? Hey, put me on, you know? I was like, hey, look, you doing it? Hey, look, hey, I trust you, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and so he told me, you know, all right. He put me in contact with, you know, the membership coordinator and everything. And then he gave me the Mu Beta Phi link to look over. And he was like, you know, look at it, check it out. You know what I'm saying? And then if you satisfied with what you, you know, see and you still want to do it, then, you know, pay your application fee. And then, you know, you call the membership coordinator because it's like the line is getting ready to start. It was right before the fall line, you know, of 2020, you know. So I was like, okay, cool. So I looked up Mu Beta Phi, you know what I'm saying? Hey, I love them colors for one. I was like, the mission statement and what they do, I'm like, that touched me. That's what I do, you know what I'm saying? And everything just aligned with that because I was like, okay, I want to do this. So, you know, I went through the procedures, you know, and everything, and, you know, and that's how I became part of the Mu Beta Phi Military Fraternity Incorporated, you know what I'm saying? Royal Court Alpha Theta Line, winner 20. Brother, I was a community service. We partnered with local here in Virginia, the Marsha Ely Learning Center, you know, and did area beautification and you know, little construction projects here and there. You know, that's one of our main partnerships. So, you know, and we do roadside cleanup, you know, we do some of everything, roadside cleanup to picking up trash anywhere, you know, not just on the roadside, you know, and even just getting with the local community, with the veterans and the key as far as the Mighty Warrior program and catering to their needs and giving back to them, you know, and you know, appreciating the veterans before us, you know, that paved the way for us, you know, or as the military veterans and just anything that, you know, with the veterans or with non-veterans in the community, you know, as far as food drives, backpack drives or you know, helping out with the deacons at church, you know, with any projects they have and any help feed the homeless, you know, that's a lot of great things, you know, and as far as the future, you know, it's just, you know what I'm saying, just trying to partner with everybody and cover all areas of taking care.
Thank you for tuning into the Finer Life Show. Listen, if you want to find us on the web, please check us out at www.mbfikings2017.org. That is www.mbfikings2017.org.